Hello. Welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer, co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. All right. Welcome to podcast God Beyond the Bible by Seekers and For Seekers. And I want to thank each of you for listening and remind you this podcast is absolutely free to you. You'll never be asked for money. And I think when money gets involved, it changes the whole dynamic of any mission or ministry. Mm-hmm. So even though we do have a couple local businesses who help us with our expense involved and they ask nothing in return, they say, please do not mention us on your show. No, the girls, the kids own some businesses and they kind of help us with our expenses and stuff. And I'm glad of that. And we put in some personal. We do this on our own. And we do this because we just want people to be liberated and blessed and as they pursue a relationship with God, our Creator. And that's what it's about. What about shout-outs this week?
Yeah, I want to shout-out to our listeners in Australia, France, Switzerland, and Sweden.
Oui.
And also to Valerie, Fawn, Dan, and username DP.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks, good deal. Guys. And then we tell them last week, I think we told everybody in the last episode, if you want to use a moniker, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You don't have to use your real name. We'll protect your identity to protect the innocent. Shout outs. Oh, yeah, I want to say shout out to Charles. Charles is always, I always get, Trayson reads me all your comments and stuff, and I get to hear them. Great comments. And hey, I don't think I've ever told you thanks for the coffee, man. I love the coffee, but thanks for that. Okay, now this is episode 15 of our podcast that was launched the first Friday of January 2019. It's continued with a new episode, as promised, released each Friday about 7 a.m. And we call that Central Standard Time, but now it's Central Daylight Time. And what I think, there's some work, something in the works. We may be sticking with daylight time around the clock, around those seasons now. I don't know.
That's my understanding.
Been a bunch of stuff in Congress, and I think there's something out the State House in Arkansas that I wish they'd just put it somewhere and leave it, don't you?
Leave it alone.
Quit messing with it. So keep in mind that these are pre-recorded 3 to 4 weeks in advance of the release. So if you're a new listener, it may take us a week or two before you hear your name. And we know we don't get to shout out to everyone, but if you'll just send us a note, we'd be glad to shout out to you.
Mm-hmm.
We only use first names and maybe the state or the country where you're from. So don't worry about that. We're not going to tell you, preacher, you're listening to these folks. We ain't going to go to your church and tell them who's listening to this. And what does that bring us down to,
Tracy?
That
brings us into episode 15. So we're only going to have 2 segments in this episode, and our topic is going to be immortality. Or more specifically, are we born with an immortal soul or spirit? In other words, is there a part of us that no matter what we do, will live on forever? And so that kind of brings us into our first segment. And our question for this segment is, was Adam immortal? Was he created or formed, as the Bible puts it, to live forever?
And when I asked the question, and I've asked this in groups before from the teaching, and when you ask the question, was Adam designed to live forever? Not surprisingly, most people will immediately answer, well, yes, he was. He was immortal. He had an immortal soul. He was. The truth is, I'd have answered yes up until about a year ago when I set aside the tradition I'd always been taught and I investigated the subject for myself. The answer I discovered kindly surprised me. Now, before we dive into the question of Adam's mortality, meaning he was designed to die, or his immortality, meaning he was designed to live forever, let's ask ourselves why it matters. The truth is, we base the belief that we're born to live forever or born with spiritual immortality on the basis of believing that Adam was designed with spiritual immortality, right? And I'm going to say, I don't think I said, but Trayson and Tabitha are both here. Tabitha hasn't said anything yet, but some people say, I can't tell when one talks or that I can't tell who it is. Me, I don't hear it, but.
Yeah, I don't think we sound alike either, but.
That was Tabitha there.
That was Tabby.
This is Trayson.
Okay, so back to the question. Was Adam designed or formed, created, whichever term we choose to use, was he designed to live forever? And the short answer is that he was not. And the Bible clearly tells us that he was not. The part of the Bible we want to concentrate on is the final few verses in chapter 3 of Genesis. This, of course, is the story of Eve having been seduced by the serpent, eating the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, bringing the fruit to Adam, he also ate, all against God's orders not to eat it. In the story, as it's related to us, is that God delves out the punishment for the violation and then banishes Adam and Eve from the garden and places a cherubim, some sort of an angel, at the entrance of the garden to prevent them from returning. Now the first question is, what reason did the Lord God have for not wanting Adam and Eve to return to the garden, to remain in the garden or return to the garden? Well, every person who's read the story will answer, to keep them from the tree of life. Now we base this on Genesis 3:23, where the Lord God said, what if they reach out and take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. And there it is, the answer. And this is kind of the aha moment. Adam and Eve were not immortal. Their immortality or ability to live forever was based on an outside force, the tree of life. Now there's some going to argue right here, well, this was that tree of life sustained their physical, but they were spiritually immortal. But that's just, we're going to talk about that in a later episode. That's not true. We can't just cross over and say one was physical and the other, you know, they were either meant to live forever or they weren't.
Right.
In essence. So they did not have immortality designed into them. They could only live forever by artificial means. That is the tree of life. Once the access to the tree of life was cut off, their access to immortality had ended. It's likely that the serpent, being immortal himself, may have assumed that God had made Adam and Eve immortal also when he said to Eve, you will not surely die. It could be that the truth that Adam and Eve's immortality was artificial, supported by the tree of life, was not even known to the serpent. I mean, we don't know. We can't say, well, you know, he knew everything. He, you know.
If everything he'd ever experienced up until that point had been an immortal, mortality may have been something he hadn't really thought of before.
I don't know. And the deception was really all about the serpent convincing Eve that she was immortal when in fact she was not. Maybe that was the whole thing about you shall not surely. God knows that you will not die. You will be as God. And that might have been what he was talking about. Now we know that after being excluded from the garden, therefore cut off from the tree of life, that Adam and Eve did die. Adam lived to be what? About 950 years old?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people talk about Methuselah. He was like 969 years. And they say, you know, that was, well, you know, Adam, a lot of people were living up in the 900s.
He was only, I think there was, yeah, just a 10 or 15 year difference in his lifespan in Adam's.
Yeah, maybe 19, 20 years. Now, it's my opinion that Adam and his descendants lived as long as they did because Adam actually did eat from the tree of life as long as he was in the garden. I mean, what do y'all think about that? Why wouldn't he? He was never told not to eat of the tree of life. He was only instructed to refrain from eating of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Have y'all have got a thought on that?
Well, I think he had to have eaten of the tree of life. I mean, we learn in the book of Revelation that it put off fruit, what, once a month?
Well, it had 12 manner of fruit, and its leaves were for the healing of nations.
Yes.
That's when it returns, the tree of life. So, I mean, I've always thought, you know, everybody says he told them not to eat of the trees. We get things so mixed up. God never told them not to eat of the tree of life. I think that's where their help. I think that's. Mm-hmm. I think they had immortality as long as they were connected to that tree of life. Now, this would probably explain why Adam and the generations close to him lived so long. It was because the tree of life had a genetic effect. Now, this is my theory. It had a genetic effect on Adam. And as his descendants got farther and farther from the effects of the tree of life and of its artificial life-giving properties, those properties and effects slowly wore off, and thus the lifespan shortened. I mean, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
It does.
I mean, that he would hand this You know, he has eaten of it, and he's handed it down to Cain and Abel as the descendants he gets, and that might explain why we're getting. I mean, I think there. You know, I think God is all involved. I think God invented genetics. I mean, he's about genetics, and everything that we're discovering, we're just discovering something God has built in. Well, the truth is, in my mind, Adam was not immortal or designed to live forever. His immortality was based on artificial means, and of course, that's the tree of life.
And I would have argued with you before we started this study on that, but the more you look into it, the more compelling.
Well, we hear people say things like, we even hear preachers say, your immortal soul. Does the Bible use that phrase?
No, the anywhere? Bible does not use it. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew language, and I'll get into that a little bit more in the second segment, but the Hebrew language doesn't even have a word for soul as we think of it.
Oh, really? Well, you know, we have, you know, body, soul, spirit. We have all mm-hmm. this, and I'm a little confused about all that because some people use soul, some people use spirit. What does it say? Wasn't it in Ecclesiastes where somebody mentioned, maybe one of y'all mentioned, that says, you know, the spirit returns to God who gave it, and the body mm-hmm. returns to the earth. But the interesting thing is we often just automatically think Adam was going to live. God intended for Adam to live forever. If he did, wouldn't he have created him immortal? He wouldn't have had to have the artificial life support. Now, and this is kind of my theory, and we've got a minute or two because this is just a two-segment episode here on, and we're going to get to why we think immortality or that we're not immortal, and we're going to give some evidence of that in the New Testament and some beliefs. But the reality of it is that God had this all planned out. I think God put the tree there. You know, God made us with he made mankind, he made Adam's race. Now, I'm not saying all mankind, I don't know who was outside the garden, but in Adam's race, God made Adam with the ability to make a choice and to make the wrong choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and he puts the choice, the bad choice, the wrong choice he can make right in front of him.
There had to be a fail-safe.
Well, it's not just a fail-safe. I don't think it was just in case. I think it was just exactly the way it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it was laid out. I mean, how many of you go and get down the cookie jar and you set the cookie jar in front of your 2-year-old or in front of the TV and take the lid off of it and you say, now you sit here and watch. You can eat the green beans. You can't eat the cookies. I mean, isn't that kind of what it was?
Yes.
You can eat everything, but now you leave. Why would you put the cookie jar up on the refrigerator? Put the cookie jar in a safe. Right. See, guys, we have to stop thinking this way. There's a bigger plan. And really, and we'll talk about it sometime, but I really think that this was really all about judging the fallen angels. I don't think it really has much anything to do with humanity. It was more about the serpent doing what he did, and he sealed his fate. Because if you think about it, God already had a redemption plan for the man.
Mm-hmm.
He already had a redemption plan from the foundation of the world for the man. No redemption plan that we know of for the angels. So I'm just saying that. So let's don't get too far away from the topic here. And the topic is, are we immortal? Do we have an immortal soul that's going to live forever somewhere? And I contend that we do not. And we'll talk more about that in the next segment.
Everybody, welcome back to God Beyond the Bible, a podcast made by seekers and for seekers. In this episode, number 15, which is a two-segment episode, well, while we're talking about that, I do want to explain, we've had a lot of people ask us why we break these episodes up into segments, and it's mainly just so that we have a chance to regroup our own thoughts and kind of recap the topic, because sometimes we can get to chasing rabbits and
yeah, kind of like I did in that first segment there. To regroup and get back to what were we talking about? Okay. Well, in segment one, we introduced the thought that Adam was not designed with immortality built in, but was actually artificially on immortal life support, and if you will, by the means of the tree of life. We pointed out that Adam's not being immortal is important because we base the idea that we're immortal on the basis of thinking that Adam was immortal, when in fact there's just not really anything to support that he was at all. In fact, I think, Tracy, you've got something on where this whole idea of immortality and the immortal soul and all that kind of came from.
Well, that was the first question that came to my mind, is if the Bible never says anything about us being immortal outside of Christ, then where did the idea originally come from? So I started doing a little bit of research, and it's kind of a hard thing to research and find anything on, but I started coming up with some things. And what I found was that it seems to have really started with the ancient Egyptians and reincarnation.
Well, I was going to say, reincarnationists would have to think you were immortal. You just keep going on.
But the idea of a soul that's separate from the body really started to form among the Greek philosophers like Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates. Socrates actually said, "Is death not the separation of soul and body?" And that was around 300 BC, so that was actually predating Christianity. And then there was Origen, and we've talked about him before. It's O-R-I-G-E-N, who first brought the idea into Catholicism in around 200 AD. And then Augustine in 350 AD taught that the soul would live after the body's death, and it would either live in bliss with God or in agonizing separation from God.
Okay.
And it was really...
Now, this was Augustine, St. Augustine, to the Catholic, Roman Catholic.
And there was a real pushback against Augustine. The Catholic Church didn't like this doctrine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it's odd that they came on and just supported it so greatly after that. But
the idea started being accepted a little bit more after being taught by Thomas, I'm going to butcher this, Aquinas in the 1200s. And the Protestant Reformation actually was the first to really adopt the teaching wholeheartedly a few centuries later.
Well, you know, I've always kind of laid it at the Catholic churches, but it really wasn't then. It was the Reformation. Mm-hmm. People started getting this. And the whole thought is that your soul is going to live somewhere forever, good or bad.
Yes.
The good place or the bad place, your soul is going to live forever. That because God has made you immortal, and so it's got to live for, you're going to have to live forever. That's our whole thought here. Go ahead.
And I thought it was really interesting too, my last little bit I have. The Hebrew language has no equivalent for the word we use for soul. The word that's translated in the King James and our translations of the Bible as soul is nephesh, which means the creature who breathes. It's the breath of life. It's not a separate...
And that's what it said. God, and of course, I'm going to say he said souls, that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. But Adam wasn't alive until he breathed in him.
Right. And, you know, they use...
Spirit does just mean, that's what it means, breath.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, he says, "The soul who sins shall die," in our English translation.
Uh-huh.
But literally speaking, it was any creature that breathes and sins will die.
Wow.
Would have been the literal translation. That word for human soul, as we pretty well understand it, didn't come around until the New Testament. And they had the word P-S-U-C-H-E. Suki is how I understood it to be pronounced.
Not to be mistaken for Saki.
Right.
Why am I even bringing that up?
Which is the word that Jesus used in Matthew 10:28 when he declared that God could destroy
the soul.
The soul.
Yeah, a good point. So don't fear the one that can destroy the body. Of course, we're going to be talking about that in the next episode probably, because he said don't just fear the one that can kill the body. Fear the one that can kill the body and destroy the soul.
It was also the word that Paul used in 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, when he said Christ alone can never die. It said that his suki will live on.
In other words, he had immortality. Mm-hmm. And there are immortals. And I'm jumping in here. What's the guy that the book of Hebrews talks about from the Old Testament? He almost comes to me. Abraham came and made offerings.
Melchizedek.
He was one of the immortals. Mm-hmm. It said he had no beginning and he had no end. Mm-hmm. We have beginning and we have an end. But we're going to talk about that. Let's jump in this.
Yeah.
In segment two, we'd like to present the idea that Jesus came to give us something we do not already possess. Immortality. Or in his own words, everlasting life. Now think about this. Be open-minded before you just jump in. Oh, he just came to, we could spend eternity in a better place. And let's think about that. Think of what Jesus said. Was you going to say something, Trey?
Well, I was going to say for everyone to keep in mind that this is fairly new to Tabitha and I too, but I think you'll see as we go through.
Well, it's basically new to me, but I have embraced it because I've come to think, you know, suddenly this starts to really make a lot more mm-hmm. sense. And in our next, we're going to talk about, is hell eternal suffering and torment, or is it eternal destruction? Is it being destroyed forever? And you know, that's a whole change of concept and venue for me yeah. because I've spent years, you know, well, everybody's one size fits all hell and everybody's going to go there. And you're going to suffer forever and God's going to get pleasure out of that. And I mean, that's really what we're saying.
It is.
Okay, but let's go on. I digress. Here we go. Okay. Jesus came to give us something we didn't have. He called it everlasting life. Let's begin with John 3:16, the most recognized and quoted verse in the entire Bible, and probably all of our listening audience has heard it, can quote it, everything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to concentrate on those two phrases. There's two phrases. Whosoever believeth on him, speaking of Jesus, shall not perish. Does anyone know what that word means?
To be destroyed.
Well, it means it to cease to exist. So Jesus said, whosoever believeth on him shall not cease to exist, but what? Have everlasting life. That's immortality. Live forever. Think about that for a moment. So the options presented in Jesus' statement are basically not believe and perish, or believe and have everlasting life. Now, if this were an isolated statement, one might think that the meaning may have gotten skewed in the translation, or the writer himself might have just, you know, misunderstood. Of course, these were words of Jesus. These are red letter words. We may conclude that since the disciples were believers and they all died physically, that Jesus did not come to give them physical immortality.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
In other words, he must have been speaking of spiritual immortality. Because if they didn't have it, how could we expect we was ever going to get it if they didn't obtain everlasting life? So, by believing. Therefore, he must have come to offer us something we did not already have, everlasting spiritual life. Notice he did not say he came to offer us a better option or another option to the immortality we already have. The two options he mentioned were what?
Perish.
Cease to exist or have everlasting life. Those were the two options that Jesus came to offer. Now, and I'm going to say right here in this, I don't have this in the notes, but I'm going to say right here. I think if it was such a serious thing that was involved here, was eternal suffering or eternal pleasure in life, that's what he would have said.
Right.
I don't think Jesus would have just coasted right over.
Do you want to spend the rest of all eternity in the lake of fire? Or
wouldn't he just said, I came to rescue you from eternal suffering?
I think so.
But he said perish. And this is not an isolated incident, and neither is an insulated accident. But I can't hardly say those two without getting them backwards. In John 6:68, after the multitudes that Jesus had fed got offended him and deserted him, he turned to the disciples and he asked them, will you also leave me, or will you also desert me? And they answered, where would we go? Only you have eternal life. Kind of strange, isn't it? Paul understood it was about perishing versus eternal life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Mortality versus immortality. When he wrote to the Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Paul wrote again in 1 Corinthians 15, when this mortal has put on immortality, then will come to pass the saying, grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now, I think I skipped something there. I think I skipped there where who Jesus was talking to. Did I miss that?
Yeah, well, in John 3:16.
Yes.
Yeah, he was
He was talking to Nicodemus.
Right. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and I think I jumped over that. So it was still about you must be born again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And born into, in other words, in another place it says you're born, the flesh is born flesh and the spirit is spirit. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about being born a life or a new life, a life you don't already possess. Okay. Peter understood it was life and death, mortality versus immortality, perish or everlasting life. In Peter 1:23, Peter states, you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal word of God. Now, I don't think you can get much. It's clear that Peter understood it was perish or live.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting on this verse, too, because I found out that he actually was loosely quoting a psalm of David.
Uh-huh.
And that he changed the word from the Hebrew, a breathing creature, to the word soul.
Well, that's interesting. So he made a, from the Greek, from the Hebrew to the mm-hmm. Greek, and made that translation there. Jesus said in John 12:25, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Staying with the theme that perishing, and eternal life. And I want to say before we get into this, and we've mentioned a couple of times that we're going to talk about next topic we're going to talk about is hell eternal suffering, torment mm-hmm. eternally. Now, and I'm not saying that I don't believe that there's restitution for the bad things we do. I think that, but that's the whole thing we're going to talk about next time is there one size fits all hell? Because if we don't have eternal life, if the soul can perish, right,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to outside of God. If God doesn't artificially keep the soul alive, and then we're going to always come to the question to mind, because that's what this is all leading to. If God has to artificially keep, or we have to have Jesus to have everlasting life, then is God going to artificially keep people alive eternally, their soul alive eternally so they can suffer? And, you know, that's a big question that we're going to have to, that's really what we're doing all of this. So, then the question, are we immortal? Am I immortal? In other words, if I don't accept the everlasting life from Jesus, am I going to live forever somewhere? And I don't think I am. I don't think I'm going to. Okay, are we ready for the conclusion?
I think so.
If we were already spiritually immortal, if we were born with everlasting life in any realm, why didn't Jesus mention it? Where do we actually get from any scripture that we go on and live somewhere for eternity aside from the everlasting life that Jesus came to offer? Where do we get the idea that we have an eternal soul? Adam did not have immortality designed into him, so what makes us think we have it designed into us? I argue that Jesus came to give us something we do not already have. And that is everlasting life. And the refusal of everlasting life results in perishing. And I'm going to jump right here. I'm pausing my conclusion for this. In the book of, I think it's the book of Romans, says, for the wages of sin is
death,
but the gift of God
is eternal life.
And we talk about that. Okay. I know what many are asking themselves at this moment. Then what comes of the teaching of eternally suffering in the fires of hell? Well, we'll save that for the next episode when we ask the question, is hell eternal suffering or eternal destruction? And I hope you'll continue to join us and listen. We realize that the subject matter and topics we discuss are very controversial when it comes to tradition, but we think we offer enough evidence on these topics to at least challenge and make us consider our traditional positions and our beliefs. And remember this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. That's Lamentations 3:22-25. So until next time, our fellow seekers, God's grace, peace, and love be upon you from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.